You're listening to Coon Hunting Confidentials on the Houndstooth Podcasting Network, where we explore anything and everything coon hunting and listen to coon hunting stories from across the nation that include cryptids, the paranormal, the unexplained, and a whole hell of crazy. I'm Daniel Felker, your host. Join me and my buddies, Dustin Faulkner and Ryan James, as we explore into the confidential side of coon hunting. Warning, some material may not be suitable for children. And what's going on, everybody? We want to welcome y'all to another episode of Coon Hunting Confidentials on the Houndstooth Podcasting Network. Man, y'all know who we are. You know what we're here to do. We're here to talk coon hunting and talk crazy, creepy stories. Once again, joined with Dustin and Ryan. Got Dustin over here on his phone pulling up the Apple reviews. Got Ryan over there smiling, all happy, ready to get this episode recorded.
Speak at him, Dustin.
Well, if you're ready, well, I reckon we'll jump on in. All right, this first one's from Walks with Walkers, and it says A+, 5-star review.
We appreciate it.
I always find myself waiting for the next episode. Simple, to the point. Appreciate it, buddy.
And walking with them walkers. And walking. And walking.
And the next one's from Boneyard Outdoors, and it says, it was a pleasure meeting you guys at Autumn Oaks. The combination of the stories told and humor you guys bring make this a very entertaining and interesting podcast. We listen to every podcast. You guys keep it, and I think you meant to say keep it up, listening from the Boneyard.
Well, we appreciate that. It was awesome meeting them, too.
Yeah, we enjoyed meeting y'all, man.
You want me to get this one?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
All right, we got another 5-star review from Walker Hound Field. And it says, awesome show, guys. Love the content. We call the game here in Illinois, kick the possum. Great game on the way to the woods. Mm-hmm. I told you I ain't had a chance yet, but I'm gonna, next time I see one riding shotgun, I'm going to get that possum.
Hey, we're going to have to play kick the armadillo.
I ain't seen a possum on the side of the road in about a year.
Well, I have. I've seen plenty of them, but I've seen a lot more armadillos.
Yeah, I've seen more armadillos. Hey, and then we got another one that just came in the other day, another review from Mississippi Cooner that says, amazing podcast. Y'all keep it up. Love the content. Keeps me entertained while I'm on the road working. Man, we greatly appreciate you listening, and we're glad we can keep you entertained while you're on the road working. And hopefully we can keep everybody entertained going into this episode right here, number 21.
Whoop, whoop.
Hey, man, I want to give a shout out to episode 20. Because that one right there got more downloads in the first 7 days than any of the rest of them. So it was off the charts, kicking butt as far as 7 days went. And we appreciate y'all listening. We appreciate that guy for reaching out to us and telling us that story. He was an awesome storyteller. Well, man, let's talk about what we got going on in the coon hunting world right now. You got Super Stakes going on. There'll be, before this episode comes out, you're going to have 3 Super Stakes winners. Well, yeah, you're going to have the fall 1, 2, and 3-year-olds. I can't remember exactly how they go. But I know we got a couple people from around home that are up there in Illinois right now with the Super Stakes, and got old Jordan Sisk and Randy Steadman. Big shout out to them. I hope they do pretty good. I haven't had a chance to reach out to them and see what's going on. And then you got the UKC. The zones went on last week. And right now, we're recording this on Thursday, September the 22nd. And right now, you got people showing up, the top 104, getting ready for the UKC World Hunt. So by the time this comes out, you're going to have a new UKC World Champion. Can't wait to see who that's going to be. Awesome time going on right now in the world of coon hunting. And you got the PKC year is coming to a close, and we got our good buddy Stephen Cromer, who is pushing pretty hard for the blue tick race right now in PKC. I don't know if he's still leading it or if that other dog's then took first place. I don't know, but I will try to call him and we'll get an update. But chances are he's probably at a PKC hunt right now trying to get money won, because he's been trying to hit them up and stay in that race as much as he can. And we'll find out at the end of this month where he finished as far as the blue tick, the breed race goes. And I know he's already clinched top 16 in the state PKC. So
he ain't leading the state?
No, I don't think he's leading the state. I don't really know. I ain't looked that up yet, or in a while.
He was at one time, wasn't he?
Maybe. I know he's leading the blue tick race. He was leading
the state and leading blue tick race. But I don't know where that stands now.
So there's a blue tick that's out of Texas that was started coming on pretty strong and putting some pressure on him, and now Steve's running the hunt. So, man, it would be a waste of time for me to put out a good luck to everybody that's out there and hunting super stakes
but
and
good luck.
All that. So we'll say congratulations to all those who win the UKC World Championship and super stakes. A lot of good dogs that's done come out of those programs. Y'all want to talk about some coon hunting, man? Let's talk about some coon hunting.
How I ain't done much because my dog's in heat.
It's still hot. It's still hot in South Carolina. We got a little cool streak to come through. I did get to knock out a coon last week. And there's still musky dines everywhere. I looked at them through the scope last night. The whole tree was just covered. That big old pine tree is covered in musky dines. It was all over the ground. So coons are still raiding them. You got persimmons falling right now, too. We are a little worried about the acorn crop. I haven't paid it any attention, but Dustin and Ryan seems to think that the acorn crop is not produced in South Carolina this year.
I don't know if it's not producing. I know there ain't as many squirrels as there once was.
What's your take on that, Dustin?
I definitely ain't seen as many while I've been deer hunting. But I also hadn't done enough scouting to really say about the acorn crop.
No, me neither. Not on that. It's usually raining acorns in the deer woods right now because of squirrels.
Well, see, it's usually raining pin oaks at my right there between that big tree between my house and my in-law's house.
Is there a lack of squirrel or is there a lack of acorn?
There's no pin oaks. They're not dropping all out of that tree. Most time they would be everywhere. They're not heavy.
The government, bro. They're messing with us. They took all the squirrels.
Do we want to talk about the controversy that went down at the pro sport? Do we want to interject our opinion on that?
No, we sure don't. We do not.
You sure?
Not really.
Okay. We don't want to talk about that.
We just don't want to give him no, what you call it, time. We don't even want to give
him time.
Everybody's
talking about it. We're a damn month late. We're talking about it. See what I'm saying?
It ain't even been 2 weeks yet.
By the time this comes out, it's going to be another week.
I seen that video you shared, though. I do. I heard his dog, cuz. In the video, I heard him.
Yeah.
And if I can hear it in that sorry video, you ain't going to tell me them songs on that cast didn't hear that freaking dog, because they cheated
they heard
that man.
That dog.
They stuck it to him.
They stuck it to him
now,
on that one.
He showed out at the end.
He should have hit somebody.
He should have, man. He was getting barred anyway. If he bad as he say he bad, he should have just went ahead and punched in the mouth and got it over
or
with.
Or cup his hand and smack somebody in the ear real hard.
Fuck yeah, you hear him now, boy? I bet you hear him now, don't you? Just wait till that ringing stops. You'll hear him.
Because they cheated him, because I heard that dog open up. I mean, I didn't hear him great because it was a freaking video and all the background noise, but I did hear it.
Yeah.
But that's all I'm going to say on that.
That's about all that could be said. I don't even know that I'm going to put that in there because I don't want to shine a negative light on competition hunting. But there's a thing in professional wrestling.
If you shit me, you better be able to fight.
There's a thing called a receipt. And I think got a receipt the other night. I think they didn't hear his dog on purpose. It was a receipt of getting because of all the other bull. I don't think they would have happened if hadn't have done half of the stuff that he's pulled in the past year. It would have been a good straight up hunt.
I disagree with that, though. I mean, even with what he's done, he paid his money like everybody else. He showed up. He was following the rules right up until
they shitted him.
They they didn't hear his dog. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't believe the man gets cheated every time his dog loses. That's not what I'm talking about. But on that hunt there, he got cheated, bro. Like, they cheated him. That dog struck in, and they refused to take his call. That's... And then he's got the video evidence to prove it, too, dude. Like, and with my untrained ear, I could hear it. Like, when that went back to the clubhouse and the panel was drawn, man, that...
Did they draw that, a panel?
He didn't have to because he showed his ass to the point he got scratched.
Oh,
that's true. Okay, so never mind. But if he'd have... I mean, I don't believe in payback on that level. I mean, the man showed up, let the man hunt. If he act like he got some sense in his head, which he was doing up to that point, I assume, leave the man alone. Take his call, dude. Like, be straight up. Even when nobody else is ready to be straight up, I believe in being straight up. And that's just who I am, though, man. Like, just because you cheat me don't mean I'm going to get over on you next time. We still going to play it right.
No, I'm probably going to get you if you cheat me.
I'm not, man. I'm not
that I wouldn't get you, and you know about it, probably, to be honest with you. You got to get them before they get you.
I ain't all about that, though.
Nah, you
got to get the get-gatters before you get got.
Okay, my dear.
Well, shit fire, man. We just got done recording the episode. It's going to be coming out for a Halloween special. It's a really good one. I think it was a really good conversation. I enjoyed it. We went deep down some trails. But
we didn't have to. We didn't get no water over our waders, though. It wasn't too terrible.
That's good.
I was expecting way worse, to be honest with you.
He was bracing himself over there, too.
He come in talking about some stuff, and I'm like, oh, goodness. Oh, that's going to be a long one.
Well, man, we got to get into this one because we talked to Mr. Ray Conrad, one of our sponsors, the owner of Bright Eyes Lights. We had a chance to talk with him, and he told us some pretty cool stories. But then we talked to Chris Harley, the owner of the English dog Big Lee.
Big Lee.
And then we had another guest, a guy from Indiana. He stopped me as I was going out of the – I forgot where I was going. He was at Mr. Steve's booth talking to him for a little while, and then – he stopped and was talking to us. He was talking to me one evening, and then I saw him the next day, and we called him over there and got him to sit down and talk because he lives right there at the Morgan Monroe. He lives right there near it. So he talks a little bit about that. We talked coon hunting. He
treated
Morgan
Lester's grave one time, didn't he?
That was not him. That was somebody else, I think. I don't know. It might have been him. I've had somebody else send me a message about Baby Lester's grave.
Yeah, I don't think that was him.
Oh, my bad.
It wasn't him. But he has been in there, and he talks a little bit about that. So I don't know if this is going to be the title. I might title it from South Carolina to Indiana and back. I don't know. Something
from the bottom to the top.
We've been on the bottom, now we're here.
So... man, we're going to get into this, and we hope y'all enjoy this episode, and we'll have some more next episode. There's going to be some more conversations coming from all the Mokes, but I saved some of the spooky conversations for the next one. So, man, we hope y'all enjoy this episode. We're going to get right on into these conversations, and we'll see y'all next time. Keep them dogs in the woods, and happy hunting. Hey, if you're looking for a really good light, what's the best light on the market, Ryan?
It'd be a Bright Eyes. It's so bright, it's been rumored that people have seen shit from the 1800s with it.
That's a rumor.
And I hear that heat seeker will burn a dingleberry off a Sasquatch ass at 200 yards.
It's pumping the daylight in. Now, for a really good light, go over to brighteyes.com. Check them out. Enter this promo code, HOUNDSTOOTH. One word, HOUNDSTOOTH. Enter that promo code, 5% off that light.
I mean, they sell to sell.
Yeah, absolutely.
They go on that website, they'll be impressed. They buy one, they'll be even more impressed.
Use that promo code, HOUNDSTOOTH. One word, HOUNDSTOOTH. Put that in, get you a new heat seeker. We appreciate it. We're just sitting here at the Autumn Oaks, and we had a chance to catch up with a fellow South Carolinian and the owner of Bright Eyes Lights and one of our sponsors, Mr. Ray Conrad. How you doing?
I am doing great. Glad to be up here with you guys, Autumn Oaks. Big time going on, a lot of fun, a lot of people. Just hanging out.
Yeah, we're in the media center, so you're going to get the background noise, I reckon. And let me say it. One, two, three. No wonder I had that swapped over to the phone part. I was wondering why I couldn't hear him that good. Say that again. What you just said? I didn't have the microphone on.
Well, I don't even remember what I said, to be honest with you.
It sounds like me.
I just, we're just happy to be here at Oaks. We like to come up here and service our customers, and we always introduce our new products here at Oaks, and the coon hunters love us, and we love them. They've kept me up for a long time. Try to take care of them as best we can, and it's more of a social thing for us than it is anything else.
How many years you been coming up here?
Oh, at least 25.
This is our first. I thought the Grand American was something.
Yeah. The Grand American is something. But this hunt's a little different. I've seen this hunt really grow. I mean, it's always been a good size hunt. Don't get me wrong, but it seems like the last few years have really taken off. You know, UKC's introduced some new things in their processes and all that seem to have really bumped the hunting up here. And you know, the Grand American is near and dear to my heart in my own state.
Yeah.
And we've seen the last couple of years the entries have been up there really good. So we gaining ground everywhere, it seems like to me.
Yeah, I don't understand. Some people say coon hunting's a dying sport.
I don't think that's so. Not when I posted the two biggest years in the history of my company the last 2 years.
Right.
Servicing coon hunters. So how can you say that? I don't think that's necessarily true. I think the fact that we're losing hunting ground.
Yeah, just the land that we're losing, not the hunters, just the land.
Yeah, just losing the hunting ground is big, and we're all having to hunt tighter spots. But as far as I think there's more coon hunters than there's ever been.
I agree.
It's nice and laid back up here. I like that.
That it is. It up here.
I like the atmosphere, everybody camping around. And some people with their campers right there at the dog barn. It's just,
oh, yeah. And it's usually, the weather's usually really good. You know, it's a little warm, but not burning up hot like we're used to down South Carolina, where you can't breathe if you walk outside.
The humidity ain't that here.
No, it's nice here, and the hunting is really good here. You know, a lot of coon. A lot of places to hunt. It's a fun spot.
I'm hoping we're going to be able to try to find somebody to hook up with and maybe go hunt tonight. I don't know where they're having that mini slam warm-up hunt or something. They're having it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's close by.
Oh,
yeah, it is close by. I think it's within 30-minute ride from here.
Okay.
And I'm sure that probably check right over here with the UKC people beside. They'll let you know where it is, but you hang around here long enough, somebody will take you hunting.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I'd like to go hunting somewhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of hunting around here, and some of these local guys come around. I've had two come by my booth this morning, want to know if I wanted to go hunting tonight.
Tell them a fat boy that does.
A fat boy that's looking to go hunting. Huh?
Oh, yeah, we want to go.
Good deal.
Well, I tell you what, before we let you go, or before you have to take off back to your booth, tell us about this new light we got sitting on the table here.
Well, you guys come and got a couple of these just a while ago, and it's our brand new Heat Seeker that we call it, and it's kind of, to be honest with you, I consider it my crown achievement right now in my light business. I really put a lot of effort into trying to improve the product every single time I do something with it. And this year, we were able to lighten the product up by about 3 ounces, which is huge when you're wearing it on your head. You'll really feel that. And then we added a lot of features. We had we've actually added some brightness to the main beam, and we added some amber walk lights, which have been really sought after. We've had a lot of guys that say in the summer when they hunt, them bugs getting in their eyes really bothering them, so that should take care of that. So it's kind of the culmination of the last three or four lights into one that has really set it apart. And I look for it to be a huge hit. We're selling them fast as right now. We've sold over half of them. It's just half a day on Thursday.
Yes.
So, oh, yeah, we rushed over and got ours before they run out.
Yeah, they're going to be gone here real, real quick. And, you know, my dealers are putting in orders for unbelievable amounts of them. We're going to be busy, but we like to be busy. We're going to work.
You'll be sold out by tomorrow then, more than likely.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
It'd be nice. Last year we sold out about, 1 o'clock on Friday or something. And this year it would surprise me if we didn't get done before then. It's possible. Yeah, I mean, because it's just half a day Thursday now. So, but it, you know, we hand-build every one of them. Every one of these lights is hand-built. I get every part in, and we build it from scratch. You know, we cut the cord. We strip the wires. We do everything from scratch. And it's pretty labor-intensive, but it is nice to be able to talk about them being made in the USA.
Absolutely. You
know? And in South Carolina.
Always been in South Carolina. And, you know, one thing that I'll bring up to you guys that – talking about South Carolina, there's two things, and I'm going to tell you something. All the lights I've built, all the things I've done in the coon hunting world, I've made good money. I've done well. But I received something last year from the South Carolina State Coon Hunters Association. I was placed in their Hall of Fame last year. And I'm telling you, my dad's been dead since 1995. He and I coon hunted all our lives together. And I'm telling you right now, I miss my dad more that day because I was so proud, and I knew he would have been so proud. It's so nice to be recognized like that. And, you know, it's just awesome. That, and I'm also in the, where the South Carolina State Championship's held every year. They have another association there for the state. And I've been put in that Hall of Fame. So, and there's only like a couple of us.
I was there when, me and you both was there when they did that.
Yeah, we was at the South Carolina Hall of Fame hunt.
And, right. 2 years ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It was during the state association meeting. We was in there. They called you on the telephone. They didn't give you no heads up and tell you that either.
No, they didn't tell me a thing. They just called me. And, you know, that to me, that's the most important thing that we've ever done. My wife and I, when we set out on this journey, I told her, I said, yeah, we're going to make a living. But we're going to take care of people, be good to people. And you know what? The blessing has come back 100 times over. And, you know, that achievement there, even though I don't even feel like I worked for it, if that makes any sense to you, it's just, it was a big thing for me, a pretty emotional thing for me, too.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you've done a lot for the youth and all the other hunts in the state as well, you know.
Yeah, I do.
The donations you give to them.
Yeah, I really do. I try my best to, particularly youth hunts is something that I really concentrate on. We give to some of the, you know, larger hunts and things, lights and stuff, but we very seldom turn a youth event down if we can help them any way we can. I'm in a sponsorship with the United Kennel Club now where we give them several lights at Winter Classic, but then their big youth national hunt, we provide them with like 25 or 30 that they give away there. And this year be our first year doing it, but we're going to actually, the top 20 of the UKC World Hunt will win one of my lights. And so obviously I'm going to call that the Bright Eyes Top 20, you know.
Oh,
so,
yeah, you might as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm proud of that, but I really, you know, giving back to what we do is a very important thing.
Man, that's great, man.
Yeah. Well, that's what we want to do. That's the whole point of doing what we do.
What year did you start making these?
1991.
Okay. I started.
Me and Ryan was both born that year.
Were you?
I was just starting. I was 11. I just started coon hunting in 91.
I graduated high school in 1980.
That's the year I was born.
Yeah, I graduated high school in 1980. So I'm 60 years old, you know, and I work, man, I did all kind of work, different kinds of work in my life, but I got hired by Duke Energy after I finished school and went to work as a nuclear chemist for Duke Energy. And I worked there for 21 years doing that. And I started my business and worked there both for about 8 or 10 years. And they offered an early retirement package, and I couldn't stand it. I left when I was 41 from them. And like I say, I've been very blessed. But it's a lot of fun and great friends. You run into so many good friends up here, people that you only see this one time a year, but it's just like you saw them yesterday when you're talking to them.
Well, I got a question. Yeah. I might be mistaken, but were you the first one to use the nickel metal hydride battery?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Was that something you kind of like knew down through the system and kind of had it like, are you like, this will work on a coon, like kind of knew the, of this existence?
No, what really happened back then was, you know, laptop computers came out. And laptops at the time were super heavy because the battery it took to run them weighed so much. The battery weighed three times what the laptop did. Well, they really pushed these companies to come up with a new style battery. And the first nickel metal hydride batteries were 4/3 A cell nickel metal hydrides. And I just saw them, you know, I just saw them back about, you know, and I said, golly bum, that would build a good light. And so I put a pack together, put it in an old light that I had and started using it, and it worked really well. And so that's how Bright Eyes was born. And we started from there, and first year I went to the Grand American was the first hunt I ever went to, and we took like 25 lights. We sold them all Friday. We drove back to Rock Hill and stayed up all night building lights for Saturday and took about 20 back Saturday and sold all them. And it was kind of funny because I had some competitors back then that most of them I consider them friends today and still friends, but they'd never seen these batteries. They were scared to death of them. You know, they thought, oh, they're going to explode. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And now we use lithium batteries that are probably 100 times more volatile than the nickel metal would have been. But it's just amazing to see the things change as you go through, you know, life and the evolution of products.
That's true. That's true. I mean, it's weird looking back as a kid, because there was the old beep beep systems I was a kid, but then I don't know of a time where people was like, well, we didn't have tracking collars back then. I don't know that evolution because I didn't see that. I just seen from the beep beeps to the little handheld to what we got today.
Oh man, I can't tell you how many times we've lost dogs. Build a fire, go to sleep beside the campfire waiting on the dogs to come back. And most of the time they'd come back. Sometimes you'd take a day or two to find them. I have seen them lost a month for you to find them. It was a chore to keep up with them back then. But it is amazing. And what you're talking about now we know within a foot or two.
Oh, yeah.
Where
absolutely.
They are. You know, is it? And it, in the past, if we knew within a mile, we were doing good. But now, yeah.
Yeah. You had to hone your craft on the tracker. You kind of like, you knew on the gain and the tune
about how far they were. That's yeah. Right.
You kind of got
we knew our terrain better, too. We'd be on one road. We'd be like, I bet if we rode around to that other road, we could get a little bit closer, and we'd ride around over there.
I can remember hunting in the Sumter National Forest over there, and I don't know if any of you guys hunt Woods Ferry or go into Woods Ferry, but I remember when Woods Ferry didn't have a pine tree in it. Okay, it was all big oak trees. Now it's all pine trees except the little bottoms.
But that was nice.
Oh, you talk about nice. I'd give anything to go back to that. But I can remember one night in particular, I had one of the little, they called it a tracker, you know, just folded out, little tracker.
Yep.
I was using one of those, and my dog was across there, and I could hear it treed through there, you know, and I said, well, okay, and I was trying to figure out about how far it was. I crossed two roads going to my dog.
Yeah.
You know, oh, and that's no fun.
No.
When it ended up, I could have drove within 200 or 300 yards of the dog, and I done walked a mile and a half, you know.
Hey, I can tell you something else about them little trackers that would fold down on the bottom too. If you didn't get that thing out and play with it to start off with before you went hunting, there would be times that the dog would be behind
directly
you.
Directly behind you.
You would be picking up a signal coming from behind you too. And if you didn't think to look, you'd be like, oh, hell, you just keep on walking straight.
Well, and there's an inherent reason for that it did that. You know, all of us have seen these big Yagi antennas that you use like with a wildlife or whatever. And the front element on that thing is a directing element, okay? The second element is a driven element, okay? That's where your cable connects and also driven element. The third on there is a reflector element to keep you from interpreting the signal to be behind you. The tracker didn't have that. It didn't have a reflector element. So that's why that was a problem. And you had to really do, just like you said, take some time. Or you'd be walking the wrong way.
You sure would. I figured that out in a competition hunt one night. We was in timeout, and I was where was we at? A Spartanburg Club, I believe, is what I was hunting out of that night. And we went back down toward Ennery and was hunting, and I had that happen. And I was like, man, I'm picking him up both ways, and I couldn't tell exactly where he was coming from. I was lost then. I was mind blown. I was like, I don't know which way to go.
Oh yeah. Well, here I got a question for you guys. What's your next strange things that happen in the world podcast going to be?
Oh, we got a good one. Episode 20 is going to be a really good one. We got a guy out of Illinois, older gentleman. We've been sitting on his store for a while.
Got a good one coming.
It's a good one. We're hoping we can find some.
It ain't like super crazy on the strange part. He's good at. I mean, it is, and he's good at telling his story. Man, he's just good at talking. It's hard to find somebody good at talking. You know.
Oh yeah.
No, he's a good storyteller.
You know, and all of us at Coon Hump had crazy stuff happen to us. I mean, all of us have had crazy stuff.
Well, you ever had anything stick out that?
I've had all kind of crazy stuff in 30 years of coon hunting.
Tell us about one.
Oh, God. Another story about Woods Ferry, and I had to kind of – this is public, so I'm going to have to dull it down just a little bit.
We'll edit it down.
Okay. But we hunted at Woods Ferry one night, and we pulled at the end of this road that – when you go into Woods Ferry, the first road we always called the Rifle Range Road. The next road to the left we called the Long Road. And the next, it goes all the way to the river, way down there. The next road is the Dam Road. And then the next road we called it the Duck Pond Road because it goes into the backwater down there. Well, we down there turning our dogs loose up around where the dam backs the water up into there. And there's a truck backed in. There's a little road over there, and a lot of people would fish and stuff, so they backed this truck in there. And we didn't think much about it. Me and my dad and another older fellow named John Hardness passed away now. We standing there, just had turned the dogs loose, and this lady jumps out of that truck and runs up to us, and she is absolutely buck naked.
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming.
She didn't have one stitch of clothing on, and she asked us if we could help her, and my dad, you know, starts taking his coat off, and he said, ma'am, we'll be glad to help you, but you got to get covered up some kind of way. So he's getting ready to hand her his coat, and she don't take it. She runs back to the truck that she just come out of and gets back in the truck, and we thinking, Lord have mercy, what kind of craziness is going on here? So we stand there for a few minutes. There's no arguing going on or nothing that we can hear. You know, we didn't know what kind of foolishness it was. But anyway, ain't but a little bit, the truck takes off up the road. I mean, slinging that gravel everywhere. And I mean, it's bad going up the road. And I told my dad, I said, I don't know about this. We're going to have to look into this a little bit. Well, we heard the dogs get struck in there, and they were way deep. And we needed to drive around to the next road that we called the short road. So as we're going out, this truck is coming back down the road. And he stops, and we stop, and he says, "Have y'all seen my wife?" And we said, "Well, last time we saw this girl, she was getting back in your truck." And he says, and it's another guy in the truck too, but he's not talking. So it's two guys and this girl. And he says, "Well, she jumped out of the truck going up the road and had run off down the hollow with no clothes on. And they can't find her." So, and this is way before cell phones or anything like that. So we left the ferry and went to the first store we knew where there was a payphone. And we called the sheriff's office, you know, and said, "Hey, y'all better get out here and see what's going on." So they say they coming, and we tell them we're going back to watch. Well, when we get out there, the paved road that goes into Woods Ferry, everybody knows, there's a truck. You can see these lights shining straight up in the air, straight up in the air. Look like airplane landing lights, yeah, or something. This guy tried to turn around in that paved road and backed off one of them big ditch banks, and that thing was sitting on the tailgate. And the lights were straight up in the air.
Oh, man. It's a terrible night.
Yeah, we sat there for a minute. Well, it wasn't long. The cops get there, and they go to question these guys and carrying on. And they call in. It must have been 10 loads of them came in, called in a helicopter with one of these big searchlights on it and all. When they finally found her, she was hiding behind a tree somewhere down in the hollow. And them guys, to this day, I don't know exactly what happened. They took our statements and everything.
She was probably smoking some bad crack or something.
Well, there wasn't no crack back then. Yeah. I mean, this is back in the 80s. There wasn't none of that kind of stuff. I mean, I guess there was.
She's just plumb crazy.
I don't know if she was crazy or they had her down there making her crazy.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
Yeah, they had her.
Had been somebody from Whitmire.
Oh,
man. Yeah. No, that's you on the other side.
It was something else. But, you know, you'd out in the middle of nowhere. Woods Ferry's in the middle of nowhere pretty much, you know, and have something like that happen. And I'll tell you another one right quick, and then I'm going to quit. One night we was hunting, me and my dad, and this old guy named J.O. Farmer. And J.O.'s dead now, too, like my dad. But I grew up hunting with both of those guys, and we turned the dogs loose, and way off in the distance, I mean way off in the distance, we can hear somebody, oh, and I mean that you barely can hear it. It's so far, you know. And we didn't think too much about it because, you know, people's crazy. They said be doing anything. Well, the dogs get in there and get treed in the direction of that. So as we walking, you can hear it getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And finally, we come out in a cutover that had a road that went down through it, you know, an old logging road, and walk up on a car down there, and there's a lady in the car all fouled up on something, you know, and she's just hollering out, you know, "Help!" Well, you just hollering out. Had to call the police again to come down there and take care of her. You know, but you run into stuff. Yeah.
See, that's the crazy we've been missing. That's what I've been trying to tell people. It's all kind of that crazy going on.
Oh,
good stuff.
It's all kind of stuff. I remember one night we were walking through the woods about 3:30 in the morning. And we done got the dogs, and we on the way back, and we walking through the woods, and all of a sudden this guy hollers out, "Hey!" And we in the middle of nowhere. We are down Kershaw County in the middle of nowhere. And at 3:30 in the morning, a deer hunter was sitting in his tree stand at 3:30 in the morning, hollering at us.
He got in there early.
Coming through, messing his deer hunt up at 3:30 in the morning.
I think you'll be all right, buddy. You got a couple more hours till daylight.
You have all kind of stuff happen to you. All kind of stuff happen to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. I'm sure everybody's got a little bit of that stuff. I mean, I could go on for hours, the stuff that's.
But it keeps it interesting, though, don't it?
Oh, it does. It's something in the world. I remember one night I used to use a Ruger P pistol to shoot coons out with all the time. I mean, big, long, full barrel. Yeah,
target pistol.
10-inch barrel on that thing. That thing was a sight. And I carried it for years. Shoot, I can't see good enough to do that anymore. But anyway, I was carrying that thing, and I remember one night I went to put that thing back in my holster, and this is back when lights, you had to use a spotlight and have it hanging in front of you, you know.
Yes.
I went to put that thing in that holster, and that rascal went off and blowed that spotlight up. Right. Mm-hmm. It scared me to death. Oh. I just knew I was shot. You know, you seen it. And, you know, the guys I hunted with, they picked and messed all the time anyway, you know, be walking through the woods and they done picked up a stick and every little bit they'll hit you in the leg with that stick like it's a snake getting you or something, you know. People do all kind of stuff.
Well, what's your favorite breed? At one point in time, you had some black and tans, and then a while back you had several years ago, I think you had a walker that was like Yadkin River bred or something like that.
I'm really a black dog guy. I was raised hunting gray, black and tans, and back in the 70s is when the tree and walkers really started taking root and registered dogs. Back, you know, before then, most dogs wasn't even registered. They were just mixed up dogs. And I moved over into tree and walker dogs then, and then right around about 80, 82, 83, boy, I own some good walker dogs, and all of them were Yakin River bred dogs. I really like that stuff. And when you say Yakin River, I'm talking about the Jimmy Meeks Yakin River dogs, Yakin River Champ, Chico, you know, those dogs. I really like the Champ dogs the best. Stuff that kind of came down out of Yakin River Jeff, I really liked. There's some other sides of Yakin River dogs that, you know, are big time back of what's walker dogs are today. Like, you know, you could go back to Gordon Gilroy's old Crowder dog. They called him Yakin River Crowder, and old Sackett was out of him, and then Sackett Jr. was out of him, and Rat Attack was out of him, and it just keeps on coming down to what we have today. But I've been hunting black and tans almost exclusively for 20 years again now or so. I've owned a walker dog in there here or there, but most all time black and tans. I own a dual grand black and tan male dog now, real nice dog, and he's getting a little age on him. He's 6. I've owned a bunch of them. One of the bigger stud dogs out there right now, I owned him and sold him to the guys that are studding him now, and I'm, you know, I'm getting old, and his name just slipped my mind that fast. Ain't that crazy?
I'm 42 when it happens. So yeah. I can understand.
Yeah, that is absolutely crazy that slipped. Cash, Cold Hard Cash is his name. Really nice dog that's really reproducing really well.
Where's he out of?
He's right now he's in Missouri, but he come out of he's out of some of Bruce Gillum's dogs down in Alabama, but big time dogs. I actually have a walker female at home now that I really like too. Getting ready to have to treat her for heartworms. The guy that I bought her from, you know, he's one of them old school coon hunters. He never did worry about it, and she's got them, so I'm gonna have to treat her. But I like her. I run her and my black male all the time when I go. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Ray, we've been at this for right at 30 minutes now. We don't want to hold you up anymore.
You ain't holding me up, but we'll call it quits now. We'll get back together another time for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been real enjoyable.
Well,
we sure do appreciate
it. Absolutely. I can shoot the breeze with anybody. It don't matter to me.
Well, we might have to do it again then because
we might have to catch up at the Grand American and talk or something. Yeah, I don't know. Do something.
I enjoy it. You know, talking about something that I love, it's near and dear to my heart. You know, that I've made my, there's not many people in the world that get to make a living out of what they love, you know, and I was able to do that. So that's a big plus. Yeah.
Okay, guys.
We appreciate it.
We sure do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, with hunting season right here upon us and everybody getting their hunting stuff all lined up, getting their boots, their chaps, their waders, their lights, anything,
Go check out Havoc Hunt Supply. They got all the things you need, all your needs. They got badass apparel. They got spill-proof water bowls. They got chaps. They got Garmins. They got thermals. And with these hard economic times, all you got to do is put this promo code in. It's at Havoc10 to save 5% on all your purchase, your total purchase. You want to support the show? Go to Havoc Hunt Supply's website. Put that promo code in when you're checking out. Save you some money, man. Or get you a hoodie. Get you a hat.
Get some shit you don't need. I mean,
a squalor.
Yeah, this hunting season, bro.
Need you a squalor.
Prepare yourself to wreak havoc.
You can get you a squalor. Anything you need is right there, Havoc Hunt Supply. Hit them up. 5% off your purchase. Havoc 10. 10. So anyway, all right, I pressed the record button and didn't even tell you I was pressing record.
It's okay, hey, we can edit it.
Yo, I met this guy last night. I don't even remember his name, but I saw him and I called him over here.
We know who he is, though.
He's from Indiana. Hey, and he told me, he said, man, you do not want to go hunting in the daggum Morgan Monroe. You don't want to go hunting over there in the Morgan Monroe, do you?
Right.
Get a little closer.
Oh, there we go. Can you guys hear me better now?
Yes, sir.
So, tell us about the Morgan Monroe, man, like the terrain and stuff, because I don't know. I have a lot of people that ask me from back home, like, y'all going to go talk to Baby Lester? I'm like, sure shit ain't. So, tell us about it.
Right, right. So, you know, the eastern part of the state and where we're at now, you know, it's mostly flat. You know, you got cornfields, bean fields, you know, a lot of river bottoms, you know, patch woods, that kind of thing. But you go west of the state, like where Morgan Monroe is, and it's hills. It's up and down hills, and you kind of got to tree your coons, you know, off of your creeks and stuff like that, or your mulberry patches and things. And it's thick, and it's a lot of people hunt it, gets hunted just about every night. You know, completely different than the rest of the state. It's up and down. I mean, you're going to get in there a mile for you, for your tree of coon, for sure, which is complete opposite of the other side of the state. If you got to go to mile tree of coon, you don't got a coon dog. You know?
Yeah. Kind of sounds like where we hunt at.
Kind of, a little bit.
But you're going up and down hills all night. You know, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
But
are they like really rocky, like mountainous type terrain?
Just big hills. It's a lot of just up and down hills. I mean, that's how it is. Not quite as rocky. If you go southwest, you get into kind of where the limestone and stuff is, and that is real rocky. But Morgan Monroe, it's just up and down hills all night.
That kind of sounds like the house.
Yeah.
As far as like we got rolling a lot of hills, man. We got a lot of rolling hills. Yeah.
It's according to how fat and tired you are to turn into a mountain.
I guess that's what the foothills actually means, coming off the Appalachian Mountains.
We sound stupid now. We live in the foothills, you
know. That's what I'm saying. We live in the foothills. It's hard to explain it, but it's rolling hills. That's what it is. I would have to see it, but they got rattlesnakes in there too. How bad are the rattlesnakes?
This time of year, they're pretty bad. I mean, they released them, I can't remember how many years ago. So you really don't want to hunt that this time of year.
The hell they release them for?
It's an endangered species, dude. There's a place doesn't in the make ecosystem any sense for to me. All this stuff. Even coyotes, bad as I hate them.
There's a place in the place ecosystem for them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it is, but you'll run into them for sure.
Well, let me ask you. I'm taking it that you listen to our podcast on one of the ones about the Morgan Monroe and Step Cemetery and all that. Mm-hmm. You listen from beginning to end?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What did you think, like, all the different stories, is anything like that sound anything similar to what stories that y'all have heard from, like, Morgan Monroe, some of the stuff that I had researched, like the crab bites, stuff like that? Was that kind of like, was it spot on or was I way off?
No.
All that was secondhand information from me just looking up stuff.
The folklore of the area, I would say, is pretty spot on. You know, talking about the crabites and, you know, them getting ran out of there and stuff. I would say it's pretty spot on. I don't know too much information. I don't have any personal experiences there. But from what people talk, I mean, the research you did was pretty good, I would say. But the only thing is, people will stay away from that cemetery. That is 100% accurate. People don't go in there. The only people that go in there are looking for trouble.
Yeah.
But enough, there's enough sightings and stuff like that that people will stay out of there. That for sure.
Well, one thing, I thought it was crazy when I found out that Finding Bigfoot did like an episode mm-hmm. there in like their first season. I was like, why out of all the places, that just does not seem like a hot spot that I'm going to go mm-hmm. try to be like creating a TV show off of. Do y'all hear much of that in your area or is there?
Most of the Bigfoot sightings, if you hear about somebody seeing some big creature, it's probably coming from there. You know, if years ago there were bears in there, I mean, it looks like bear country. So if there's some big scary beast, I mean, it's going to be over in them hills for sure. But
what kind of dogs you coon hunt?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You said you was at a coon club like over in that way.
Yeah, so. the coon hunt that we're the coon hunters club that we're part of, it's right in that area, right near the Morgan Monroe State Forest. We hunt it for our casts a lot. We do have some spots closer to there, but you know, we get a big hunt or something, we gotta go in there. We gotta take a cast in there and you can spend, I mean, 2 hour cast, I mean you can spend it all and not get halfway through that forest. But that's a lot of where we hunt is over on that side. Not very many coons, not like on the eastern part of the state. You know, you drive 30, 40 minutes and you're in thick coon. So it takes kind of a little bit deeper hunting dog, honest dog, you know, to go over there. But
so what breed you hunting, man?
Oh, I was getting ready to ask him.
A red bone.
No, only there's only one breed you can hunt. That's Walker's.
Plot dog.
Oh, he's part of the Illuminati.
Illuminati hounds, bro.
Any particular line or just whatever?
The female I got off, she's out of the hardwood swamp. She had a lockbox. I like a lot of that stuff. I kind of like a dog that takes her tracks as they come to them, you know. But I like a deep and lonely kind of dog as well. But that's the kind of dogs I have.
Like, I might be wrong, and I really even shouldn't say nothing without flipping through a magazine and refreshing my memory, but is that Keith Medley's? I mean,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
Keith Medley's stuff?
Medley stuff, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I was thinking that's what it was. I was hoping I wasn't sounding like a complete dumbass.
Oh, yeah, and so my female, she's out of, on her top side, it's that driveline dog over in Illinois, but nice dog. I mean, real nice dog, producing a lot of good pups, and when she's out of TrackMan
okay. Yeah.
Other good stuff there.
I got you.
I had a TrackMan pup one time.
Hey, just walking around out through here, out of all, you know, there's several stud dogs that are out lined up through the area. Little people got their banners up and stuff. If you had to pick one walker dog to breed to right now, who would it be?
Oh, Little Money.
Little Money?
Little Money, yeah, 100%.
What about Money in the Bank?
Nice dog. And that dog kind of is one of those dogs that takes its tracks as it comes to them, kind of like what I like. I just like the drive and the motor that Little Money has. But Money in the Bank's a nice dog. Done a lot of winning. I mean,
yeah.
real nice hound and good looking. I mean, you got
same line of dogs, isn't it? I'm not exactly sure the pedigree right here, yeah. Right off the top of my head.
They're both off Big Money. Yeah, both off Big Money. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So you got it. Little Money. That's who we'll go with.
Oh, yeah.
What's your name, dude?
Jacob Campbell.
I mean, I can edit that out if you want me to.
Matter. Okay.
I mean, your buddy's name. We put his name in there.
I'm all right.
You all right? He's all right. His name's I'm all right.
I'm all right.
You spell it I'apostrophe M.
He lives on the side of the lake. Man, I got to pee.
Oh, anyway, I just want to stop you. I appreciate you taking, you know, you stopped me yesterday and telling me about the Sumter. I mean, the hell to Sumter. There's a lot of similarities between that Morgan Monroe and the Sumter National Forest. There's a lot from like where we live. That's why you say it's hilly. I'm wondering if it's hilly like our kind of hilly.
He says there's not many coons in there. But I'm like, that sounds just like home.
Do you every once in a while will you get lucky and strike one 300 or 400 yards in?
Yeah. If they're moving good, or if you hit a you cut on a creek, you know, and there's coons down there feeding or looking for crawfish or whatever, you're going to strike one quick. And we have, like, during season, you know, killed a couple coons in there pretty quick. But most of the time, you know, you're going to go in there.
One or two coons a night instead of y'all's 10 coons a night like y'all get around here.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like we're a one or two coon a night.
Yeah.
Please. Hey,
I'm going to go help Nub in a minute.
Oh, he's taking the tent down. He's serious about leaving out of here early, ain't he?
Your dog keeps shitting on me over here, man.
I invested in a black and tan puppy.
Oh, man. Real coon dog there, buddy.
So I got a walker, a blue tick, and now I got a black and tan.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I've seen quite a few decent black and tans, you know. And then black and tan guys, I mean, they're diehards. I mean, they will, you know, and there's got to be something to that, you know. But
hey, y'all have a lot of private land in and around your area, or is it pretty common that, y'all have to drive 30 or 40 minutes or something like that away to go hunt thicker coons?
Most of the public land is west, so that it is kind of the bigger hilly area. Most of what I hunt's private, and that's about 30 minutes from me because that's where I used to live. So most of my spots are 30 minutes, but I mean, there's river bottoms everywhere. We are running into losing spots due to leases and
housing developments.
Yeah, housing developments, stuff like that. But usually you don't got to go far. It's within 30 minutes, an hour. I mean,
is it a lot like this in blocks?
Yeah, a lot like this. Very similar to what's up here. Very similar.
The other night was the first time we've ever
hunted in
a
block of woods like that.
Really?
People at the house say they got 50, 60 acres, and we're like, oh, hell, what we going to hunt, man? Have a dog run through it right off the rip. We don't have coons like that.
Well, anyway, man, I'm going to get over there and holler at Mr. Steve before he gets out of here, because Nubbin's pretty adamant about being out of here by 2 or 3 o'clock, well before 3 o'clock.
He told me yesterday that he said he's going to tell Steve he wants to leave by 12, so that by the time Steve's done talking to everybody, they'll be out of here by 3.
Good idea.
It seems like
that's
a good idea.
That's what we're
going
to do to Daniel from here on out.
Tell him we need to leave by 30 minutes before we actually need to leave. Yep.
That's a good idea. But, dude, I appreciate you sitting down and just chit-chatting.
Absolutely, guys.
We enjoyed it.
We'll definitely be back up here. I'm going to be back up here next year. For
watch
sure.
Watch out from other fellas up in the Morgan Monitor. They're going to come blister y'all's tail.
Oh, yeah.
We got another guest at the table here at Autumn Oaks, and his name's been mentioned on our podcast a couple times. Alan Bridges brought him up. Ryan's brought the name up. He owns a English dog named Big Lee. We got Chris Harley from South Kakalaki at the table.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing pretty good. Wide open. There's a lot of people coming in here early this Friday morning, walking around the fairgrounds and all that. How many years you been coming up here?
This is my first year to ever actually come and set up.
So you've been up here to the hunt before? Walked around?
I came up here about 5 years ago. I was living in Kentucky at the time. I lived in Kentucky for about 2 years, and I made a day trip, came up here and walked around, and I went back to Kentucky. But this is the first time I've ever been up here, set up, and to hunt.
I got you. Where exactly are you from in South Carolina?
A little small town called Cameron, South Carolina. It's about 15 minutes from the gates of the fairgrounds at the Grand American in Orangeburg.
Okay. Yeah. I got a lot of my family on my mama's side live in Orangeburg. My grandparents live in a little town called Cope.
Okay. Yep.
So there's a bunch of them little towns that I don't know.
A lot of them. Yes,
I have no idea. They mentioned nieces, and I'm like, nieces, what is that? It's like right up the road here.
Man, that's your aunt's kids, dude.
Huh?
That's your aunt's daughter's nieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got a good restaurant, so.
Well, tell us a little bit about Big Lee. You got him out there showing him off, stud, big-ass English dog.
Yes. Yes, he is. I got him when he was about 16 months old, and we did a lot of pleasure hunting with him that summer by himself, and I started running the hunts with him in the fall of 2020, and we've done a lot of good winning with him. He's 5 years old now. He's won the 2020 English Breed Leader, 2020 South Carolina PKC Top 16, finished second in leadership. He's been a high scoring overall English at the Grand American in 2021, 1,025 points on Saturday night. He's placed fourth, fourth this past year at the Grand American 850 on Saturday night. We just got to, hopefully this year at the Grand American, we'll be able to put it together on both nights. But, yeah, he's done a lot of good winning for us. He's a coon dog.
You got out of there?
Yes, sir.
I figured you probably did, being that close.
Yep.
So, I've hunted a couple spots down in there. I've hunted around Bamberg. We hunted a real nice spot around Bamberg last year where we went down before the Hall of Fame hunt. We met up with this guy who's got a big hunting club. Stayed in, they had a bunch of little trailers. We stayed in one of them.
Did you bring a boat or chest waders? Or
no, we didn't really get much water neither. Wasn't too bad at all.
Wow.
Wasn't much. So how many dogs you done bred? How many pups he got on the ground?
He's got around 50 pups on the ground right now. We haven't bred a whole lot to him yet. I've bred some quality females, I feel like. We got a couple. His oldest pups are about 16 months old now. And one of them's already got some cast wins. And we plan on this fall pushing some of his other pups. So we're getting there.
I got a couple. I'm planning on hunting some myself.
Yep, yep.
I've been over there and seen them, male and female.
Oh, no, Bubba, you got shot. That's what I named the male. Oh. We're going to call him Bubba.
Oh, Bubba, huh?
But Ryan told me you had a story, man. We want to get you to tell us that story if we can talk you into it.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So he asked me what was one of my craziest coon hunting experiences, and it goes all the way back to when I was around, I'd say 12, 13, 14 years old, probably 12 or 13. I couldn't drive. I was hunting with my cousin. And a guy that lived next to him, his neighbor, he was wild crazy. and we went hunting. This is a true story. My cousin tell you the truth as well. We went hunting out. We was on the cemetery on this dirt road. And we couldn't hear the dogs. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm 37 now, and I had to be 13, 14 then. But anyway, middle of the night, hunting by a cemetery. Just so happens to be we were by a cemetery, I guess, but... sky lit up like daylight. Instantly, there was no airplane. There was no noise. There was no nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the sky lit up at once for a period of time that was only a second or two, a split second. But it was wild. It was freaky, and I still remember it to this day. That was probably one of my craziest, wildest stories. All of a sudden, the sky lit up. You know, you would think airplane or the moon was out or whatever, but it was nothing. It was nothing at that time.
Man, like I was telling you, we've had other people tell us that. I've heard other people say that on
Ashley Moss'
podcast.
She talked about it.
Yep.
She had that, and we had a guest from Arkansas that had that happen. Said they was sitting on the banks on a bluff of looking out over the Arkansas River.
Right.
And they had it happen. It's like just out of nowhere. And so I don't know what it is, man. I don't got no explanation. I was like, and I know of another story where that happened in Oklahoma. I just haven't been able to get all that story recorded yet, get them on the podcast. But that's like, once you start looking for them, you realize, you know, there's people having the same experience all over.
I've never had it happen again. And I can't tell you a whole lot about what happened after or before, but I just remember us after that talking about, you know, we were just all like, what was that? And the sky lit up like daylight for a split second. It's wild.
Kind of eclipse or something.
Yes.
A reverse eclipse.
Yeah, a reverse. Yeah. Backwards eclipse. That's what I meant to say. That sounds better.
I ain't as stupid as y'all look.
So, I looked on your Facebook. I seen it the other day, a couple weeks ago. You had this big, like a rattlesnake laid out on a tailgate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
You got a lot of them?
Oh, yeah, sir. Yeah, sir.
I'm glad we don't got them.
Do you hunt this time of the year with them down there?
I don't hardly hunt at all. I was messing with some pups. I got a spot in my property in the back there. I always go back there and play with pups at. My son was with me, and I had a coon with me in the cage, and I let the coon out the cage, and he literally, the tree he went up was the tree that rattlesnake was under. And when I walked over to, you know, get the pups up and get them excited, I looked down and he was curled up at the bottom of the oak tree. And I immediately, my son was with me. He was he's four. And I put him on the side by side and dared him to move.
Don't you move, boy.
And I did all I could as fast as I could to catch up those pups. And I got them caught up before, you know, because obviously they were trying to get that tree.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, you got to be on alert out there at my house for sure.
You have any big gators come crawling across your property or anything like that?
Not on my property. They're not far, though. Four Hole Swamp is across the street from my house, and then we do a lot of hunting on the Edisto River, and there's gators in the Edisto River. I drew my gator tag this year, so I'll be gator hunting next weekend. It comes in the second Saturday of September.
What zone did you draw for?
And one on Lake Marion.
Okay.
I don't remember the number.
Upper, what is that one? Upper?
It's the upper something.
Upper something.
Yeah. So hopefully I get a big dinosaur next weekend. So it's a pretty good rush when you got a gator on the end of your fishing rod. Because yes, I mean, our rules and regulations are you have to retrieve the gator, mm-hmm. and then, you know, discharge him at the boat. So it's a chore getting him up close.
I have done it. It's a great time, man.
My wife got a tag last year, and we got one. It was 8 foot, but it was still, you know, only 8 foot, but it was still 8 foot.
It's still 8 foot of gator, fury, so. Man. It's still 8 foot of fury.
My cousin says it's perfect. He's killed, he's took several different people. He's cleaned a bunch of them. The last one me and Nick cleaned, it was like 11 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But, man, it took forever to clean it, and it stunk. It smelled like garlic, man. Super strong. It was weird. And, you know, it would. None of the other ones we had skint was quite like it. It was almost a garlic smell. It was strong.
Yeah.
I'd like to have me about a 5-footer to eat.
So, basically, in South Carolina, we can't do like you see on TV in Louisiana with the set hooks and stuff.
No.
You take a fishing rod with a big old weighted treble hook and throw it over that song on his back and snatch it off in him when you really don't
I got
close.
One at the store. It's for sale if anybody wants it.
Well, and the one we got last year, you know, we made a real long cast with the bait caster. Mm-hmm. And so when we hooked him and he took off, he was about to spool us.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So, you know, it was running, jumping the boat and, you know, like chasing him down almost like a scene out of Jaws or something with us in the boat running behind this alligator and trying to reel him in as fast as possible. But hopefully by next Saturday this time, I'll have a big gator story to share.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll be looking on Facebook and seeing if I see any pictures.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Well, man, y'all got anything y'all want to talk about?
You hunt mostly private land or public down around
here? So we don't have a lot of game management land close to where I live. I have to drive probably an hour and a half at least to get to any nearest game management land down around the Francis Marion National mm-hmm. Forest. So all of my land is private land or either timber company.
Okay.
You know, big tracts of private land. So it makes it harder in the fall this time of the year with deer hunters and private land. So mm-hmm. You have to pick and choose our places, right? But after deer season goes out, a lot opens up. But
oh, yeah.
Usually by that time, the river's flooded. So
yeah. It's plenty of rain.
It's plenty of rain.
Are you hunting tonight, man? You hunting in this thing?
I have an entry for tonight. Yeah, okay. I got an entry, and we're going to see what we can make out of it. So,
what time are they supposed to start calling y'all out with the entries?
I think last night it was about 4:30, but today we have to confirm between 12 and 2. So we'll go on up there pretty close to time. So.
Ain't no telling where you're going to have to go to, is it?
No telling. And they got them out pretty far from here. Kind of like Grand American at home, you know, two hours. Wouldn't be unusual.
Right.
So
Hopefully
it's closer.
Hopefully.
Hoping for that look of the draw.
That's right.
My look, I go 2 hours to some damn mountains.
Big Lee's been up here in Indiana. How long has he been up here?
Since May. He's been up with Eric Emery in northern Indiana since May. Right.
Okay.
I brought him up here for the summer. So I'll take him home. Gators.
They've been hunting him up here any?
Eric's real busy with work during the summertime, and he's been hunting him on the weekend some.
Okay.
And we bred a couple females while he was up here. But he hadn't been hunting a whole lot, but more than
enough to
better than me having him home and
enough to get acclimated to the area
territory.
I mean, that's it. Just getting him acclimated up here,
that's
put
right.
him probably put him worlds ahead than if you had to haul him from back home.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
you know, hunting around cornfields and bean fields, it's just not something we do back in South Carolina a lot. You know, but our corn and beans are in when it's obviously snakes and gators. And there's still a lot of guys that hunt through the summer. I don't care to hunt during the summer. So, you know, flipping them around a cornfield, it isn't something a South Carolina dog's used to.
Right.
At least in my experience. So, you know, wintertime, you get into hunting in the river swamp and flooded timber and stuff like that. So it's a whole lot different up here. Whole lot different.
Yes, it is. I tell you right now, dude, I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I'm loving it up here so far.
Well, you know, and even as warm as it was yesterday, it was cool this morning when I got up. I mean, it was long pants, cool.
It felt good last night.
You got in the 50s, right?
It was just, it was
felt good. Low 60s, what my low truck 60s. Was saying when I was on the way back from that hunt last night.
Yeah.
It was great. Felt real good. I got some questions. Tell us how Big Lee hunts. What's his hunting style? What's he like? We ain't talking none about that.
Okay. So he's probably a second, third, or fourth strike dog. He's not, you know, if you turn loose on a really, really, really hot coon, he might get first strike. But, and he will tree with other dogs out of the truck, but by default, he's looking to get by himself as soon as he's cut loose. If he does tree with other dogs out of the truck, you know, on the recut, he's going to be alone the rest of the night. So he's a very independent dog, in my opinion. And he gives mouth on the ground. He's not a whole lot, but especially, you know, he can work a cold track. In the wintertime, he'll open a good bit more than up here in the summertime. Up here in the summertime, what I've seen when he's been up here, he just kind of goes around at cornfield and falls treed. At home in the wintertime, I get to listen to him work some good tracks.
Some feed tracks.
He'll work up some feed tracks, especially me hunting by himself. You know, he'll work up a good feed track. He gives a dying locate, and he's a steady put, stay put tree dog. He doesn't bear hug the tree. He's a pretty big dog, so he likes to stay all fours on the ground. He will get up on his back feet and get on the tree, but generally speaking, he'll be, you know, close to the tree. He is very, 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 very accurate. He's probably the most accurate dog I've ever hunted in my life.
I heard that.
He's gonna have those eyes. If you don't find him, you better look again. So, and you know, he's gotten to where on the recut, he's just flipping and going and getting treed every time. So, and that's what it takes. But
does he get deep and lonely?
Well, he's a deep and lonely. Sometimes he's too deep and lonely. You know, if you ask me, he's not trying to run by coons. It's just, you know, sometimes on that recut, he likes to get off and get by himself. But he'll definitely get in there, no problem. Yes, sir.
Man, how much does he weigh? Because he's talked about him being a big dog, and he is. What do you reckon he weighs?
Right now, he's probably around 92, 93 pounds. He's a little heavy right now. We need to get some – I'm going to get a little weight off of him. But he's pretty heavy. But, you know, as far as the way he's built, he's – to me, he's just a beautiful dog.
Yeah, he's built right.
He's got what it takes to look like a hound, a big head, big ears, and he's got a tight coat, right? And he's big, but it's not a sloppy big. It's a muscular big, and he's well built, and he's tight, and he doesn't show his size in the woods. I mean, he can move around fast.
Oh yeah, he's a man.
Yeah, he moves around real fast, and you know, it's just not a goofy big, if you know what I mean.
Did you raise him?
No, I didn't. I got him when he was 16 months old.
Okay. Yep. He was started or something?
Yeah, well, he was started. He was started.
Hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Oh, I got another question. Or for thinking of your kennels long term and your, like, stock of dogs off Big Lee, if you were going to make an outcross right now with another line of English dogs, do you have an idea what it would be?
I just made I have some pups on the ground right now that are 4 months old that are all off of a dog that I purchased and bred and raised the pups off of. She's direct out of Hard Time Awesome. And Awesome was out of Hard Time Swamp Cat. And this female's name is Dream. And Dream's mother is direct out of Hard Time Swamp Cat. So she's right. a half brother, half sister, hard time swamp cat bred female. She's a granite champion. She's a PKC silver champion. And I hunted her all winter, and she's got pretty much everything I look for. I really enjoyed hunting her. I mean, and I got her crossed with Lee, and we had four pups out of that cross, and I still have access to pretty much three of them myself, and then another local guy has the fourth one. So I'm really looking forward to those dogs and that cross. I think that's going to be an awesome cross. She's got what I like in a female. She's got a real high-pitched squall on the ground, and she's, you know, steady, hard tree dog. And I think crossing that up with Lee's loudness and his ball is going to produce the kind of mouth and atmosphere I'm looking for with my next pup. So I'm really looking forward to these pups.
Sounds good. It sounds like you really believe in that cross for you to keep three out of four for yourself, and then another one stayed pretty damn close.
pretty close. So, you know, I could have sold those pups for some pretty good money. She was, you know, her dad is all world champion hard time awesome, and she's double hard time swamp cat, and she's a grand knight, and she's a silver champion. So, I could have sold those pups for a lot, and we still have all four of them right there at the house, locally. So,
smart move.
I would have done the same thing.
We'll see how it goes. We're hoping to get some. I'm hoping to get a nice cross out of there.
Sounds good. Well, man, I appreciate it.
Yep.
Give you a little bit of exposure. Put
yes,
the name
sir.
Big Lee out there.
Yes, sir.
A local fella.
Yep.
Well, man, we greatly appreciate it. We're gonna let you get on back over there to your setup, man.
All right. Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
You too. You too.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Coon Hunting Confidentials on the Houndstooth Podcasting Network. If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is htpodinfo@gmail.com. That is htpodinfo@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you with all your coon hunting stories that include the creepy, crazy, and the unexplained. Until next time, keep them dogs in the woods and happy hunting, y'all.